Welcome and thank you for standing by. We'd like to inform parties today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect, and thank you. You may begin.
Great. What a mess. Okay. So, okay, Rafiq has joined now. That's good. Rafiq had said that he was delayed in the subway, so I'm glad he made it. I haven't figured out yet exactly how to show the documents I wanted to show. But what's really most important to show will be the final document, which is the comment in response to the CWG stewardship proposal. So I'm going to see if I can figure out how to bring that up at some point. But where we are in the process and why this call got put together at the very last minute is because we're 2 weeks into the three-week comment period on the first draft that's been put out by the CWG on stewardship. It is an incomplete sending to the ICG, but it does contain the basic shapes of the ongoing proposal, and the discussions have been going on now, even though this document is still in review, on how to sort of flesh out the definitions of those. Now, basically, and please, Milton or anybody else that's been following this, jump in and take this from me, especially soon as I can try to get the last document up. But basically, the proposal that came out, so that was the quick status, and we're trying to deliver this, I believe it's by mid-January. Milton, the date is January 16th. Is that correct? That when we have to submit things to the ICG if we make our schedule?
Yeah, Aubrey, this is Dahmer. I think you are correct. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
It's supposed to be January 15th, but I thought that the Dames group had already decided that they were going to be the end of January.
I'm not quite sure on the schedule. I thought that was still a possibility, but I didn't know that it had actually been a decision. But if there has, thanks. So anyhow, because the process requires that we get one, that the group come to its consensus on it, and then that it goes to the committees. To the various councils of the chartering organizations before it goes on to the ICG. Although, of course, the ICG, like everyone else, will be able to see what it is that's being passed. So it's not like they won't have an understanding. They just won't have anything formal. So the document is out for a three-week review at the moment, and it basically creates a structure. And without going into details, because I don't think we've gotten that far on details yet, there is a contract code that is a minimal entity, and its legal definition is still pending, but it has been called variably by me originally a type of trustee or trustee-like. It's been called a shell. It's been called But basically, it holds the contract. It has an administrator for the contract, and that's about it. It takes its instructions from the MRT, the multi-stakeholder review team, and the multi-stakeholder review team, the composition of which is still open for discussion. And in fact, the NCSG comments do make substantive recommendations on that is basically the place where the decisions on things such as renewal of the contract, putting out a request for proposals for a new contract, and such are dealt with. The full scope of its potential, I think, is another thing that's still somewhat under discussion. It is not a policy-making body, but it is a policy implementation review body,
and it deals with the IANA issues, the IANA functions for whoever is holding it. Then there is a CSE, a Customer Standing Committee, I believe is the name, that basically has been defined variously as they get the reports on the SLAs and the various statistics. They're the ones that raise alarms or note issues on there being a performance problem of some sort, whether it's performance with SLA performance that has to do with security or stability or root server security, and also debatably whether it's also keeping an eye out for any, you know, implementation of policy issues that may need further review. Its scope is to raise alarms. It's unclear to me still whether it has any ability to do anything beyond raise an alarm. I think not, but I don't think, as in all things, it's stabilized. Please correct me if I've gone astray there. So those are the basic elements. Oh, and then there's an appeals mechanism, which has been little discussed in terms of exactly how that works on the IANA function and on the holder of the function. Milton or anybody else that's on that, while I try to get our comments into the screen, is there anything you'd like to add and any discussion? And I want to see if I can get – oh, I can't get it. Yeah. Okay, so. Anyone else want to talk? No?
I have my hand up.
Okay, please go. Yeah, please. I'm looking to try and get a screen in now, so I'm paying less than full attention.
Okay, so, yeah, it would be good to have our comments up if you can...
Right, I might have to save it as a document. That's what I have to do. I have to save it as a document, so while I'm doing that, I'll you talk, please.
Okay. So most of the discussion in the group as a whole has been about whether this structure is too complicated and the composition of the multi-stakeholder review team. We do have a kind of a straw man proposal for the composition of the MRT in our proposal. I think it's I think it was Armour who said no, it was Matt that said we have this strange tendency to basically reproduce ICANN representational structures when we create this thing, and I'm not sure that that's appropriate given that the ICANN structures are basically meant to be policy development structures, and we don't want the IANA review team to be think of itself or slide over into policy making. The other issue is the whole issue of separability and whether the contracting model that we have supported is the right model. The idea behind this, the basic idea, is to retain the oversight functions that used to be performed by the NTIA and to make this structure, this four-part structure, the substitute for what the NTIA used to do. That approach seems to have a predominance of support on the committee, but is rather... filling out the details are complicated. And the at-large people have really gone against this whole approach. I think it's basically only the at-large people who are really against it. So that's just supplementing Avery's introduction, and I guess we can now just look at the look at the draft.
Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure it has the draft, and Milton, you're one of the primary authors of the draft, so I hope you'll speak to it. But is everyone able to move the draft on their own? I forget which way the sync button works. Can you guys move it as you wish, or are you looking at it as I move it?
I can. I can move it,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know which way to push the sink. Okay.
I've done it.
So, okay, fantastic. Okay, so in terms of looking at this, this basically, just give my brief introduction on it, and then Milton, if you're willing, as the primary author and the one that's been controlling edits, to sort of take us through it. But basically, this document, Milton put up an original draft of it, I guess it was 3 weeks ago now. We've been working on it for at least the last 2 weeks. It's at a point now, and the discussions have been far-ranging, and anybody that wants to should be able to go back to earlier versions of the file and earlier versions of the comments to see a history of those. But from some fairly diverse starting perspectives, this is basically, I would say, close to a consensus, if not a consensus, of the people working on it. So now we're at the point of wanting to take it to the policy committee and have it basically determine whether this can be submitted in the next week as a NCSG document. And of course, we need, you know, the full membership to discuss, to look at it and have the opportunity to send comments. In terms of the process so far, I know Milton and I think I and perhaps others have, you know, mentioned it several times on the discuss list, and I think there may have actually even been some discussion, but I'd have to go back to look and see exactly which list discussion happened on, because it's also being discussed on a open interest, special interest group of NCSG, IANA, of any NCSG member that's interested in discussing gory details more than just periodically. So discussion has been going on various places. This is sort of the what I'm calling an annealing point, where we've reached a certain stability on it, and I think all of us that are working on it have stuff we're not as pleased with as other stuff. But so, Milton, would you like to take us through this, since you've been the primary editor?
Okay. So, essentially, we have our standard how pleased we are to comment the opening paragraph and who we are. The next paragraph, we try to highlight the importance of the globalization of the IANA functions. We then say that we support the basic outlines of the plan. We support the idea that it needs to retain oversight functions that used to be performed by NTIA, that there should be separability, that is, the ability to replace ICANN as the IANA functions operator, and that we need to strengthen and reinforce the separation between ICANN as a policy body and IANA functions operator. Then we go into the specific structures of the plan, and we express our support for those structures. And then we outline our concerns when we are filling out the details of the plan. One of those concerns is that the legal design of the contract company needs to be further developed. You want to create an entity that doesn't do anything except jump into existence when the contract is issued. We want there to be an unambiguous commitment to fixed periodic renewal rather than sort of making withdrawal of the contract an emergency or punitive thing that everybody would have to mobilize to do, and it would be assumed that it would be renewed. We want there to be a regular periodic renewal. And we proposed a 3-year term, but then if everything seems to be going fine, the MRT can just kind of wave its hands and renew it without a RFP at 2 2-year intervals. So the maximum time period without an RFP would be 7 years. We want to make it clear that failure to implement policy properly or actual implementation policies that are not approved should be explicitly made a factor that could lead to suspension or non-renewal of the IANA contract by the MRT. even while we do understand that you have this appeals process in place that would challenge implementation's consistency with policy. We then talk about the specific details of the composition of the MRT. We propose an 18-member team with two non-voting liaisons. I'm not sure if that number is right anymore. We need to add these up because people were throwing things in and taking things out. But the idea was you'd have four from the GNSO and five from the CCNSO. We had a discussion of whether that should be five and five. Certainly the registries and other GNSO people think it should be even. But as Avery pointed out, the GNSO has only four stakeholder groups to select people with, and unless you're going to go into another unbalanced situation in which the usual suspects, that is to say the commercial stakeholder groups, would demand a second seat when the rest of us only got one. But it might be reasonable, on the other hand, for the registries to get two, since the IANA is they are the direct customers of the IANA. We wanted the root server operators to be represented with two positions, and then each ICANN advisory committee to appoint two members. I only wanted the advisory committees to appoint one member, but we figured that that might not be acceptable to them. We wanted there also to be independent experts external to the ICANN community, selected through some kind of a process that we're very vague about. And then we wanted non-voting but fully participating liaisons from the other operational communities, namely numbers and protocols, to be on that MRT. Details about the frequency of meetings and its relationship to the Customer Standing Committee need to be specified. We didn't have any particular ideas about that. And we also suggested that something be done regarding the domain name IANA.org, suggesting that perhaps the IETF Trust could hold that name for use by all three directories. Any changes to the use of the domain name should be agreed to by all operational communities. We talk about then about the relationship of this plan to the accountability working group. Our main concern is that the two are interrelated, and there are certain things that have to happen before the transition takes place, certain accountability reforms. A point we make is that we want to have strong institutional checks and balances that would prevent ICANN from regulating content. We recognize that the accountability cross-community group is a primary venue for doing that. However, we want there to be placeholder text in this proposal that would allow us to put something in from the CCWG accountability. And finally, since the call for comments explicitly asked about this question, and Bill, this is where the ALAC concerns come in. The at-large is basically pushing the idea that basically, IANA should just be given to ICANN permanently and that there should be no external entities such as the contract company or the MRT, that we would simply fix ICANN's accountability and IANA would become a permanent part of ICANN and we would not have any problems if we fix the accountability of ICANN. In that section, that last section of our comments, we're expressing strong opposition to that idea. Even though we agree that the existing IANA department has done a good job for most of the operational communities, we note that its performance has always been disciplined by the ability of the NTIA or the IETF to change the IANA functions contractor. And we fear that without that separability, ICANN would not be accountable and might be susceptible to capture, and the separation of policy from implementation might dissolve. we don't agree that the accountability working group can solve those concerns. We think that ICANN will pretty much have the final say on any reforms, a bargain in which ICANN gets permanent control of IANA now in exchange for a promise that it will remain accountable indefinitely into the future is not a wise bargain. So that's an overview of what we say.
Thanks. I don't see any hands yet, so anyone that wants to comment, please put your hand up. I wanted to make two comments while I'm waiting for hands. One of them is I'm still confused, like I said in the beginning, about appeals mechanisms and what we're talking about. And I think we're going to have to be clearer in terms of, for example, this appeals mechanism and this is not the appeals mechanism that will be discussed in ICANN. Or is that a question? Can it be? And you know, I think we need to dig a little into that, which we haven't done. And I'm not sure we need to put something in this statement, but perhaps we should consider it. And then the other thing is, following up on some of the conversations that happened in yesterday's CWG meeting, where the registrars were, you know, basically saying, we not only want more, we need more. I'm wondering whether, you know, we want to take the extra step based on that and sort of say, and registries get two, and that's how we get to five. It's just, you know, there could be a registry's operational concerns, to borrow a term, that basically gets, you know, the fifth GNSO seat to come up with the parity. It was just something that occurred in that conversation. So I see a hand. Amr.
Thanks, Avri. Amr, I have a couple of questions, two questions. One on the Customer Standing Committee. I was just wondering if it would be agreeable to explore a different option as opposed to having the SAC and the RSAC as well as MRT liaisons on that committee. Another form of, I know the concern with this was the ability of those folks to sort of flag issues related to security and stability or perhaps policy implementation so that the MRT could pick up on them. And the reason I have this concern is because, well, I see the Customer Standing Committee as the committee that is always there, as opposed to the MRT, which sort of just pops up as needed. I would think that it would be better to not have policy issues involved in the Standing Committee's work, or even monitoring of policy and policy implementation. So this is something I think this is something I brought up a while ago, but I didn't really follow up on. And I was thinking more of a mechanism for folks within the SSAC, the RSAC, and perhaps the GNSO to sort of give input directly to the MRT with a limited scope on when policy implementation of IANA functions is not being done properly. So that's one question. The other question is, I'm a little foggy on why we're recommending or sort of encouraging the review panel. I was wondering what the thinking was behind that, and why is this something the MRT itself can't do? Why do we need an independent appeal panel where to pick up on when policy implementation is not being done properly, and why can't the MRT do that itself? Thanks.
Okay. Matt. Yeah, Matt, you're next.
I guess I have. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Okay. I guess I have the same question a little bit that both you and Amma have, which is it's unclear to me how this independent appeals entity works. I mean, if you look at the diagram at the end of the consultation page, paper that was proposal that was sent around, it kind of shows that actually through an indirect way coming out of the MRT, but it would seem to me that there needs to be a process whereby policy issues that have not been correctly implemented by, or issues that relate to policy have not been correctly implemented by the IANA operator, probably do need to go through the MRT and then out to some appeals mechanism, particularly if that appeals mechanism is one of these outside, completely independent entities that was being proposed in the consultation paper. I forget the names of them, but I think one of them is C or something like that. So I think that needs to become a little bit more clear. So if indeed there are policy issues that have been that are questioned, then I think the reason this came up in the context of delegation redelegation issues, then they should probably somehow be routed through the MRT to the appeals independent appeals panel. I would have thought. Thanks.
Thanks, Milton. And then I put myself in the. What's next, Milton?
Yeah, I would have real concerns about making the MRT an appeals resolver. I think that, again, pushes it very, very much into the realm of policymaking, that people who didn't like a policy coming out of the GNSO could appeal it and then lobby the MRT composition to get the policy overturned in some way. Anyway, I think that might, something like that might be able to happen. I think that the appeals process is meant to be a fairly lightweight thing, analogous to the independent review process in which you essentially have arbitrators applying some known set of rules. And if you make them a gatekeeper for those appeals, if you make the MRT a gatekeeper, I think you're getting into trouble. You're policyizing the MRT.
Okay.
Was there something else? Yeah, I agree that I think the point that Matt made was correct, was that it was the CCTLDs that really wanted this appeals mechanism because they're afraid of bad delegation, redelegation decisions. The process by which these appeals work is really not very fleshed out.
Okay, thanks. Okay, putting myself in the queue, I wanted to make a couple comments. One, from the beginning, when Milton was talking about the accusation that this recapitulates, that the MRT recapitulates ICANN. I tend to think that it more recapitulates the ICG in a sense than ICANN in terms of its, you know, not producing the whole mechanisms, the large staff, and what have you. In terms of Amr, your question, I think in terms of the CSC, I think there's two things. One is I think ESSEC and RSEC are not, at least, and my idea is, and I'm one of the ones that's been suggesting that, is that they're not there for policy. They're there because they look at the security of the system, of the DNS system, and they look at security of route servers. And so I believe that they're there looking for, as it were, operational technical concerns that may appear in that, and that's why I think that they're one independent view of also having them on the CSC. Now, the other thing that we have in there that you and I have been disagreeing on all the way along is whether there needs to be the early warning of there being a policy implementation issue and thus having an expert from, you know, the CCNSO and the GNSO in that as well, and a counterproposal that no, just the GNSO and the CCNSO can watch like everyone else, and then they can use either the appeals mechanism or MRT. And that is indeed another possibility. I just think having those liaisons there and having people very similar to what we've added in the what's coming up in the policy and implementation discussions and what's been coming up in terms of, you know, the implementation review teams that follow on the PDP, that there is a devoted watcher. And that role is filled in this case by the liaisons. So I think that's the balance of that issue. And I guess you and I are still in disagreement on that one. But I think the RSAC and SSAC participants on that, liaisons or members as the case may be, is a different issue. I think that's a technical operational issue. Amar, you have your hand up again.
Thanks, Ari. This is Amar again. And I want to come back to this point on the CSC. And I don't think we disagree on the function that needs to be performed on the flagging policy implementation issues by the GNSO or CCNSO. I'm just wondering how best to do that. And I'm not sure if having a GNSO and CCNSO liaison from the MRT to the CSC is necessarily the best way to really do that. And I'm not exactly sure how the GNSO rep from the MRT would be selected or how he or she would perform that function. So what I was thinking was just a sort of a direct channel from any stakeholder group within the GNSO to sort of contact the MRT and let them know that they think that there's a problem with implementing policy and that this should be raised to, to whatever appeals mechanism exists. And I take Milton's point earlier on politicizing the function of the MRT, and that seems like a pretty good reason to have the independent appeal panel, which I was asking about earlier. But I'm just a little confused on how a liaison from the MRT, specifically for the GNSO, could carry out this function. Because I'm guessing that this liaison would be someone who, if he or she liaises between the MRT and the CSC, and the MRT isn't really mandated to flag issues to begin with, how would this person carry out that function? And does this person actually represent the entire GNSO or a certain special interest group within the GNSO? So that's why I'm just wondering if this is the best way to go about doing this or not. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. And in my understanding, and until I see another hand, but I wanted to comment, in my understanding, it was not that it was a liaison from the MRT. It was a liaison from the GNSO of someone that was on the MRT. And my expectation was that the liaison from the GNSO or from the CCNSO would basically, and probably actually end up being a use that liaison function also within the GNSO. I don't know. That doesn't matter as much. But would be to the council. Certainly within the GNSO, that any liaison coming out of the GNSO is to the council. Now, they can be on the council or not on the council. That's not there's no necessity there, but that it's to the council. I think that what it was trying to say, and maybe the wording needs to be clearer, or maybe that's not what other people meant, it was that it was a GNSO participant who was on the MRT that functioned as the liaison, and so their connection in the MRT is informational. Because they're on the MRT, they can carry the stuff across. But perhaps that makes the role too complex. I don't know. I see Matt said, I guess anyone can query any policy implementation if it goes straight to the appeals panel. My question on that is, how intensely busy do we want the appeals panel to be? And also, the alarm that that the CSC raises is for further investigation. I don't know that it maps to necessarily appeal. I think that that raises the criticality of the alarm too much, as opposed to here's something that needs further investigation, here's something that needs further discussion, to here's an appeal. So I tend to see a difference. Anyone else want to comment? Okay. There was also, Milton said, in case I forget, someone remind me to bring up the jurisdiction issue. So since no one has their hands up, maybe, Milton, this is the time.
Yes. I expect trouble around this issue. We had this interesting conference on sovereignty in national security and internet governance on the weekend, and Jack Goldsmith, the former Department of State guy, was there, and he was saying, you know, really insisting that jurisdiction matters a lot more than we think it does. So, for example, he said, okay, so the U.S. government gets out of IANA contracting, but what if the California Attorney General or the California State Legislature decides to pass a law essentially inserting itself into a role where it directly regulates ICANN and starts making internet governance policy? And even though that's unlikely, it's not impossible. And so the question of the jurisdiction of this contract company, even if we don't think it's important, a lot of other people, both in the U.S. Congress and in Europe, and other countries are going to think it's very important. And if it's not, if the jurisdiction is not the U.S., then Congress is going to be very suspicious about losing control. And if it's in the U.S., then the rest of the world is going to be very suspicious about losing control. So I just am kind of flagging that issue as something that is likely to cause some kind of trouble. Now, from what I've heard, the least complicated way of doing jurisdiction for Contract Co. might be as a Delaware corporation. And by the way, all of the sort of incorporation laws in the U.S. are at the state level. Apparently Delaware has the sort of the most lightweight and form of incorporation. But then again, it would be in the U.S., and some people would be very concerned about that. And then there's some of these special forms of corporations that are based in Geneva, meant to be for international. But that tends to be a lot more complicated. And I'm not legally well-informed enough to go into that, but I do know that it's not a simple matter to just incorporate in Geneva. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if any of you have any ideas about how to handle that.
Thank you. I don't see any hands. We've got about 12 more minutes on this call, so I'd like to get any comments in. But while waiting for hands, the next steps on this is basically, I think, and perhaps Rafiq should speak to the next steps, not me. So, Rafiq, can I get you to speak on the next steps? Maybe not. There is a Rafiq here. If not, I'll start speaking to the next steps, and Rafiq can jump in and correct me or take over at any time. Anyway, yes, I was also told we missed the roll call, but then again, the roll call, when we would have done it, would have had four people on it, and now it would have all those that are listed. So I'm quickly going to say the roll call consists of everybody that's listed in the Adobe Connect, and is there anybody on the phone that wants to be listed in the roll call who's not in Adobe Connect?
Hi, okay. Hi, Miriam. There's no one.
Okay, there's no one. Okay, so roll call has been done. Apologies for the sloppy way I started this. Now back to what comes next. and the slot can go longer, but a bunch of us have another meeting with the GAC, and that starts, I think, in 10 minutes. So Rafiq said he actually, well, we've got a two block. This one ended up at an hour, but if it needs to go on in discussion, it can. Just some of us will drop out and go to another meeting. We can have an open discussion on it. As long as Milton, the pen, is willing to stay, we can talk. So the next steps is that Rafiq was going to formally, basically, since he's acting as chair of the policy committee until such time as we elect Amr, chair of the policy committee. I don't think we have any other candidates. Basically, he was going to ask the policy committee to, in the next couple days, make a decision on sending this forth as an NCSG comment. So that means that a notification would probably go out on the NCSG discuss list today saying we had this phone call, et cetera, pointing to the document and saying it's going to the PC, you know, comment now, last call on comment, as it were, and then the PC would have to get its process together to give a consensus on sending it forward. Any hands at the moment? Rafiq, did I get that right? Let me see. I'm in the wrong chat at the moment. Anyone else's audio out? Oh, people couldn't hear anything? Oh, okay. Milton could hear. Matthew could hear. Oh, okay. So all of a sudden I thought I'd been prattling on to no one for a bit. So, are there any hands? Does anybody else have any comment? Does anybody want to take issue with any of the specific wording? Are we done? Okay, Matthew.
Yeah, I hate to bring this up again, but it was yesterday certainly a very interesting discussion about representation on the MRT, and this is undoubtedly going to come up again. And I think, Milton, you circulated at least some form of what we have on paper here. So, this is kind of going off into the ever-increasing numbers of people on the MRT, and I just wanted to make sure everybody was comfortable with that, or indeed was comfortable with the proposal that we have on the paper at the moment. Thanks.
Thanks. Like I've said publicly, I can live with what we have on the paper. I'm comfortable with it getting bigger. I'm not one of those that screams at it, because I know that even when you have a 60-person committee like the MAG, there's still only 10 or 15 active people, and the others basically sit and listen and only participate when there's a necessary exception for their point of view. So I'm not as concerned about it as others are, but I'm comfortable with putting out our compromise, knowing that that's not where it'll settle, or believing that's not where it'll settle. Milton, or Matthew, is that an old hand? Yes, Milton, please.
I am considering getting big. The MAG is kind of a program committee that has a much less consequential job.
That was just one example.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I think you get beyond 20 or 25, you're really creating a very strange situation. It's supposed to be contracting for what's essentially an operational function, and it's not, I just am resisting the idea that this is something, somebody from the GAC who said, oh, we must have public engagement with this, and again, that's appropriate for the policy functions, but not for contracting for an operational function. It's not about public engagement or expressing diverse views about, you know, policy. It's certainly we want people who are would be impacted by misuse or incompetence in the performance of the IANA functions to be represented, but I think there's a lot of ways for those voices to get into the MRT. It doesn't have to be big for that to happen. It just has to be very tightly organized, and anything that makes it more and more like the GNSO or any policy development entity makes me very nervous.
Thank you. I guess, first of all, you and I probably should have a talk someday about what the MAG does, but and she will be different. But anyway, I think that it goes beyond that. There's a space between doing nothing and just signing a contract and doing policy. And in fact, if you notice, the NTIA, which was not doing policy on this, when it came time for an RFP, did go out for further comment. So I think the notion of interaction with the community is occasionally necessary. Now, I agree that, therefore, you don't necessarily need 50 people on this, and I don't think anybody's even suggesting it that high. We're getting estimates that make it as big as the ICG and not bigger than that. So I first of all, I don't see that size as harmful. We see the ICG functioning with fair efficiency, that they're pushing the rest of us on a very tight schedule. So I think it's possible. And it isn't a policy-making body. It is a policy-reviewing body that does have to not a policy implementation review body that does need to look from a variety of perspectives. So I guess I fall somewhere between the we don't need the community, it's just, you know, quick, versus we need the community deeply and always. So hopefully we can find sort of an intermediate. Okay, I see Matt and Amr. Matt.
Yeah, just quickly, on the contract company, I don't have any thoughts as to where this might go, but there is I'm sensing and hearing a little bit of resistance to this entity, and it is, as we note in the comments, important that we get some kind of advice on whether or not this type of entity can actually do what we want it to do. Otherwise, we may have to come up with an alternative. I don't have one in mind, but we may be forced to think about alternatives going forward. So I think just to flag that the contracting entity or the shelf corporation really still is a bit of a puzzle in many people's minds.
Okay, thank you. Matt Amr.
Hi. Just on the representation and numbers of the MRT, I'm guessing that as this discussion moves forward, one of the things that we need to consider will probably be what the operating procedures for the MRT will be and what kind of decision-making methodology they also is also adopted by this group. That might make representation an issue. I agree with Milton that it should not in any way mimic the representation in the GNSO or within the ICANN multi-stakeholder community, because the purpose of this community is completely different, and that should also be reflected in the operating procedures and how the MRT itself is allowed to make decisions. And one thought is for example, the existing IANA contract, where there has to be documentation of how implementation of policy has been done or is being done. So any decision on the part of the IANA administrator has to be supported by documentation that says, okay, this is the policy process, this is how we went through it, and this is how this policy was developed, and this is how we're going to implement it. And this is something we could use as a guide. But in that sense, I don't see why any single stakeholder should really have an overbearing presence within the MRT, and I think it would be a good idea to keep it as tight as possible. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I've got Rafiq next, and Rafiq, not only am I going to turn the mic over to you, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you to either keep going or to end, as in a short bit I'll be moving over to another meeting, but if this one continues, I'll catch up with the recording. Rafiq.
Thanks, Avery. I guess probably I will wrap up the session the next 5 minutes. But just about the policy committee, so I shared the comment with the policy committee, and I asked that we need to act prior to the deadline of the 22nd. So hopefully by the weekend we will reach the consensus and we endorse the statement. We will share also with the membership list to inform the members about, I mean, this final version of the statement, and I mean, getting also endorsement there, so that will give guidance to the policy committee members. So I expect the policy committee members to review within this week and to vote in time, in due time, so we can submit next Monday. Okay. Okay, Avri, are you still here or you already left?
I'm in the process of leaving, but I'm still here. But still, you take the meeting, close it if we're closed, or what have you, please.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Avri, and thanks again for the presentation today. It's quite a good idea, really, to introduce one topic in the call, so hopefully we will have this kind of call in a more regular frequency. So, anyway, okay, so taking over this call, is there any further comment or, something to you want to add here? Milton, Amar, Matthew? Okay, I see Amar is going to leave too. Milton, do you want to? Yes, taking over, yes, Milton. So, do you want to add something instead of... Okay, teasing me in the Adobe Connect chat.
Well, what could be more fun than teasing you? No, I pretty much said what I want. I would just think, even though there are some, we can continue discussing our views on the final plan for the names IANA. And there are still some open questions that we have, but I would like for these comments to basically be approved as they are. I don't see any need to make any major changes in them. I think it's important to just get them approved by the policy committee so that they can move forward.
Yes, understood. I think that the expectation here... it will be complicated if we try to make changes. So that's why I expect the policy committee members really to review and to agree. If they have maybe strong objection, they need to, I mean, to explain why and so on. But I don't think we will have such issue. So we need here more to get endorsement. And maybe also thinking about the next steps. So this is just the first proposal. So and the work is still going on till next month. So okay. Yes, Amar, you want to say something?
Yeah, just to add, as someone who had a couple of questions on this document, I agree with Milton, and I think we should approve this document now and continue our discussions later. But we should submit this. We should try to agree on this within the next couple of days on the policy committee, get the consensus we need, and forward it as the NCSG comment. Thanks.
Okay, it will be really helpful if the PC members in the call, they carry those comment also in the main English, so to explain that we should move on here, and we will continue the discussion. That will be really helpful. So.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Good. Okay. So I think most of the people are trying to leave the call. So anyway, so I think we reached some agreement here in how to proceed. Other than that, is there any suggestion or idea how we should proceed after this, after submitting the comment, hopefully next Monday. So I guess because there is still some work in the cross community working group, and I think the challenge that we have holidays here. So anyway, okay. Yes, Alma, I think you want to add something?
Yeah, just to answer your question, I think that the one thing moving forward we need to really work on is fight the ICANN only option with tooth and nail. Milton's been pretty much carrying us on this front for a while now, but I think this is something that is just a very unrealistic idea if we're hoping for an accountable IANA administrator in the future, and we need to focus on this as much as possible. I would guess that another important topic is sort of the interrelation between the accountability cross-community working groups output and this one. The ICANN only option should not. We shouldn't encourage that this option is entertained at all based on the output of the accountability cross-community working group, because, well, one cross-community working group is dependent on board approval and the other one isn't. So we need to really make sure that all accountability mechanisms we need in terms of IANA stewardship are achieved through the stewardship cross-community working group, and we should not depend on any output coming out of the accountability cross-community working group to that effect. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam. I see also that Matt is supporting that we need to speak more, to be more vocal on about this ICANN-only option. So I guess that we need some to think about how we need to move here and how we to coordinate between the members or NCNC members and the working group. Okay. Anything else you want to add here? So. By the way, it will be, in the last call, NCAG call, we talked about having kind of listing the issues for accountability and IANA. I think Matt volunteered for that, so hopefully he can send us that draft soon before you leave. just to remind that to Matt before he leaves to another call. Okay, since some are already leaving, and unfortunately, some are joining us late. Probably there is some misunderstanding about the timing of the call. Anyway, the recording and transcript should be shared later in the list, so it's possible to listen and to check what we discussed in this call. We will try to have this call in more regular basis and about different topics we are discussing with the NCAG, so we can involve everybody. Okay, so just now to, I think I will adjourn the call. Thanks, everyone, for attending today. Thanks for Avery for the presentation, and Vinton also for his insight as a member of the ICG. So, see you soon, and I think that's probably maybe the last or before the last call of NCAG in this year. So, see you soon. Bye-bye.